Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was, Mr. Scott Whitney.
Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas extravaganza on the Vegas Video Network! I am your humble host, Scott Whitney, konnichiwa, which is Olympic for we won another gold.
Take that, China.
Take that, China. We're ahead of the gold count. That's right. I didn't think we were going to win. But I'm happy that we are. And I'm joined by my naughty jelly Swedish. That's pimping Wayne, everybody. There he is. Look at him. Oh, man. Hear him. Oh, pew, pew. It's no wonder I'm attracted to him. Well, guess what? I've got all kinds of people fighting over me now. I got Melissa like, oh, I think that's the wrong word. I got Jacob over there going, that's not right. And I got all kinds of bad things going on. Anyways, welcome. You hear that? You can't even hear. We should mic him because the things he's saying are bad. Anyways, welcome to the show. Hello to our live studio audience. Hello to our live chat. Hello, of course, to our crew. We've got He Who Remains Jacob over there, rocking the TriCaster. And oh, there's Slammin' Sammy monitoring the live chat. Interesting show today. This is a seriouser show than we would normally do. Going to walk through the process of filing a small claims lawsuit. We've had occasion to do that. And it's been interesting talking about this subject with people before the show. A lot of people are really intimidated by this process. And so I thought I would just walk people through the process that we went through to kind of take the fear out of it. Also want to talk a little bit about the business mistakes I made that got me in this place in the first place, or got me in this situation in the first place. But before I do that, a couple things. Want to hit a shout out to Bob Scott. We're still getting emails and letters about the episode we did about my mom's passing and the whole healthcare world. Today in the mail, I got a sympathy card from my son, Bob. And I just think that was very nice. So Bob, thanks very much for doing that. Melissa and I really appreciate that. All right, so let's jump into this idea of a small claims deal. And to back up a little bit, I think it's important to recognize how we got there. And for those of you who haven't followed the network or followed me or followed the Living in Las Vegas podcast for a while, I've been an entrepreneur, been in my own business since 1998, November of 1998. It's 14 years. And in that entire 14 years, I have never had a customer not pay me, not once. Now, I don't know why that might be. There's several reasons. I think part of it was the business model that we use. And the business model typically was in a service industry, which I normally ran. So I did a website development company to begin with and did music, branded music CDs. And then I was a professional, performing musician and now an online broadcaster. And the business model basically said, you pay us an upfront payment, maybe 50% of the deal, or if it's a very large deal, something that says you're in the game. And then a monthly payment prior to the work we do. So we were never behind the cue ball. And that worked great. What happened here, what started this problem, was a gentleman came to me and said that he had a deal with Vegas TV for a show with those guys and needed somebody to produce the show for him. He tried the Vegas TV folks, and they didn't have an appropriate studio. He'd seen us at Vegas Video Network. He actually reached out to us prior to that several months prior to that, and just kind of pinging around. But he came by and told us a story of what he had going. And I actually blogged about this experience, and we get a lot of people who come in here and tell these stories. And it's kind of like a spider sense thing. You get a spider sense to go, that doesn't sound quite right. Or, golly gee, that sounds pretty good. Well, this gentleman is a pretty good storyteller, and I was kind of, golly gee, that sounds pretty good. So I did a proposal for him, provided the proposal, did the whole thing, and he's like, wow, this is great. Sounds good. Ready to sign. And the deal that we normally do here for Podworks or the Vegas Video Network is it's a tiered deal. So if somebody says, I want you to produce a show for us, we say, okay, so for all the things that you want us to do, we're going to charge X if you do 1 through 7 shows and X minus some percent, 8+ shows, X plus more. It's a sliding scale.
Sounds standard.
Exactly. And so one of the things that we have found in our business, typically, is that if somebody is quick to move, they tend to be better to work with. Mm-hmm. And so for some folks, we provide a very aggressive pricing for people who decide within days of a proposal. And this person suggested that he'd be able to do that. So we provided him very aggressive pricing, and he took the deal.
Signed by it. Aggressive, you mean competitive?
Very competitive. Yeah. Very aggressive. You know, large, double-digit discounts over our what you'd be retail pricing if you were to just come into us and say, do some studio work for us. Mm-hmm. So we got the deal, and there was and part of the deal is because he committed to a large number of episodes, 50. So we're like, great, sounds good, but the deal said, the contract said, but you have to pay us X dollars up front. And he's like, well, I can't really do that. Now, immediately, here's my first mistake, and this was a huge mistake. It went against my business model. And the business model never failed me, but I got kind of wrapped up in the Vegas TV thing, I think, and his story made sense. Basically, what he told me was, the way Vegas TV works is it's typically a pay-to-play environment. In other words, the shows that aren't Everybody Loves Raymond, but the ones that are like local, they pay to be on the network, and then they share revenue. For ad sales. So there's typically 7 commercials on a half-hour show, and the company may pay you, I don't know, $1,500 to be on the network, and then you get 3 episodes or 3 commercials. Or
it's called
like
brokerage time.
That's exactly.
And it's not
right.
Unique to TV. Radio does it all the time, especially right. AM radio these days.
Huge in AM radio, monstrous in AM radio, and very big here in Las Vegas. For instance, Morning Blend. Which is a show, and there's 2 shows in the morning about 9 o'clock here in Las Vegas. Both of those shows are broker shows. To be interviewed, you pay to play. So anyways, he said, here's the problem. I'm not getting any of these commercials. I have to sell advertising within the show, just like Morning Blend. But they won't pay me until the show has actually been aired. Now, I didn't know any better. Sounds good to me. Now, that's not how we do business. We have advertisers. For instance, LASIK in Nevada is an advertiser. Mm-hmm. They pay us the month that we do. But he was telling me that's the way it works in TV. Now, at the time, I believed him. As I look back, it's probably not true. My guess is when Glenn Lerner pays for a block of time, he's already paid for it, and he's just getting his stuff distributed all over the place. For those of you who aren't here in Las Vegas, Glenn Lerner is a lawyer who advertises quite a bit on TV.
Interact, need a check? My Boston accent needs a little work, but.
By the way, clearly it's working. but I believed him. Okay, geez, sounds great. I'll take your word with it or for it. But we got to figure out something so it mitigates my risk. So the compromise was, okay, we'll do 2 weeks of shows. And what we did is 1 week we would shoot 2 shows on one day and 3 shows on another day. We'll do 2 weeks of shows, and on that, the Friday of the second week, I will invoice you, and you will pay me immediately. Now, most people are like, wait a minute, don't you do net 30? No, not here I don't. And I already did basically net 14 because he knew it was coming.
And that's very benevolent of you. I got to say, I got a TV degree myself. the reason I'm not in the industry right now is because I didn't have a bit of the business savvy you did. I didn't want to go out on my own. So having that TV experience, that's almost unheard of out there.
Yeah.
So you were, and I'm not just, you know, patting you on the back because you're the host. I would like to be invited back sometime.
By the way, our new show, Pimpin' Wayne, walks the streets of Vegas.
That was benevolent of you.
Yeah, well, thank you. And so, and he completely agreed. So I created a schedule for payments, and everything was understood and clear. And then Jacob and Sam and I worked our asses off to get this show up and running. And I mean, we rehearsed like crazy. We wrote, we created the graphics, we created the videos. We worked our asses off.
I witnessed some of it. I didn't work on it,
but
I would come in sometimes and just watch the work that you guys were doing, the coaching, the bringing along. You know, with the Olympics going on right now, it's like going from your backyard to training for an Olympic sport. I mean, you guys put in that coaching time. So I witnessed that.
It's a huge amount of work. And so the first 2 weeks of content were produced, and we provided them off to Vegas TV, and I provided them with the first invoice, payable upon delivery, and I didn't get paid. So like, oh, that should have been the next red flag. So the agreement said that if he didn't pay me immediately on invoice, I would hold back 3 episodes so that he couldn't meet his broadcasting schedule. And so I said, look, dude, if you don't pay us, I have to hold these things back. That's not going to be great. He's like, oh. And then he started negotiating. Well, how about if I pay you a little bit of money and you give me one more? Mm. Boom. Another red flag. Mm. But I played along now because I was somewhat at risk. So
you're already in.
Yeah. So what am I going to do? So
might as well flip your cards up.
Right. So the invoice, so he sends me a check for some money. It's a cashier's check, which is good, right? It's good. Except it was written to the wrong company.
I wrote it,
the invoice was from Podworks, which is the parent company of the Vegas Video Network. He wrote the check out, or the cashier's check was to Vegas Video Network, which caused a great deal of hassle.
Okay, so but that's potentially understandable.
Yeah, I guess.
Potentially.
It's a lack of clarity in paying attention. So
sure.
The rest of the balance, of which was substantial, was paid in cash here. Mm. He had one of his advertisers write a check to me. Instead of to him.
That's professional.
So all this was happening around me, and I'm like, wow, this is this how TV works? What am I missing? Anyway, so we get paid the first invoice. I'm like, okay. Then I had a come to Jesus meeting with him. I said, all right, man, are you okay? Can this happen? Because this was not what we expected. We're working too hard to do this. If you want to just stop, I understand. Let's just stop. No, Scott. We have got to figure it out. We've got advertisers, they're paying us, we've got great cash flow, we're good to go. Mm. Sounds great. So we even dived deeper into the show to provide more work and coaching and production stuff. So the next 2 weeks of shows came up. I invoiced him for the next invoice. Didn't get paid. Next week comes by, he goes, we can't do the show anymore. Whoa, wait a minute. You told me we were good. You told me. And it wasn't true.
This is like Wimpy. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
That's exactly what it was. So I'm like, okay, well, we gotta manage this. So nobody panicked. We're like, okay, so what do we do here, dude? What do we do to make this work? Well, I do have some advertising. How about this? How about if I get you in front of the Vegas TV folks, I get you a deal there, and then we'll work out an arrangement. I'm like, okay. Well, that never came to pass. And then he just kind of went radio silent. So then at this point, I thought, okay, there have been times during our time here at Vegas Video Network where people have signed agreements that they did not follow. And I have just kind of let a lot of those go. But in this case, what really made me unhappy was it wasn't just that they were taking money out of my pocket. They were not respecting the work that myself and Jacob and Sam were doing. And that's what really pissed me off. I felt like I had to stand up for what was going on here. And come to find out, this practice of taking people's efforts and not paying here in Vegas is prevalent. It's a pervasive issue, especially in the entertainment business. And I had had enough. So I decided that I was going to file suit, small claims suit against him. And this is the process that we had to go through.
Don't take the law into your own hands. you take them to court.
That's right. By the way, if you want to hear the opening buzz for the People's Court, he has it memorized.
The case you're about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They're actual litigants with a case pending in Las Vegas Municipal Court. Both parties have agreed to drop their court cases and have their disputes settled here in our forum, Scott's Court.
Okay, so we didn't drop the case. We actually pursued the case. So here are the steps to file a suit, a small claims lawsuit here in Clark County, Las Vegas. Step one, first of all, how do you qualify? What are the rules? What has to happen before you're even allowed to do this? What's the requirement to file a lawsuit? Well, there's a couple. The person who you are suing has to either reside, work, or do business in Clark County. Check. And you have to be 18 years or over.
Whew. Just made that one. Wow. Did they have to, did they card you at the courthouse?
Yeah. You know what? I haven't been carded in, shut up, Wayne. So, I made the 18-year-old cutoff. Who figured? Second, cost. A lot of people think this costs a lot of money. Here's what it costs to file a lawsuit. First of all, it's dependent upon the value of the lawsuit. So if you're going to sue somebody for $0 to $1,000, by the way, if you're going to sue them for zero, I'd pass. Up to $1,000.
Right. Worth more than
I'm
money.
Suing you for a dollar because, damn it, you deserve to be sued. So for up to $1,000, it costs you $46 to file that suit. Up to $2,500, it costs $66. Up to $5,000, it costs $86. And because he owed me $9,000 plus, I sued him for the maximum you're allowed to in Clark County, which is $7,500. By the way, the reason why he owed me that much is he got a discount pricing on our agreement, but the discount required that he do all 50 episodes. He didn't do that, so it lit off a paragraph in the agreement that said, if you don't do all the shows, you're going to pay retroactively the number of shows that you actually did. That's why it went from what he would have normally paid me to $9,000 and some odd dollars. Okay, so I sued him for $7,500.
So that's the max.
That's the max that you can do in small claims here. So if you sue somebody, if like Apple sues Google.
Millionaires versus billionaires.
Apple doesn't have to tell Google it's coming. They just file suit. And you see this all the time. We can't comment on that lawsuit because we haven't seen the lawsuit. It's not how it works in small claims. In small claims, your first step is what's called a demand letter. So you have to send a demand letter to who will eventually be the defendant if you do actually file suit. So when I saw this, I thought, well, you know, what's a demand letter? Well, one of the nice things about the Clark County folks is they provide a template. And what you're going to see here is the template for a demand letter. Now, the deal here is there's a couple things. Can we see that? There it is. So, and go ahead and zoom in a little bit on that, Sam. You'll see at the top is just the addressy kind of stuff. The important stuff, go ahead and zoom in a little bit more. This is the important. It says, dear whoever, scroll down just a hair.
I see, first off, you have to send it certified.
Yes, you do. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. So, dear whoever, this letter is a demand for payment for the amount of, in my case, $7,500. I believe I am owed this amount as a result of the following facts and circumstances. So in that block, I explained why I believed I was owed that money. My explanation said, you actually owe me more than the money I'm asking for, but because of the limitations of Clark County, I'm asking for this amount of money. And then the bottom paragraph says, you are hereby informed that you have 10 days from the date of this letter to pay the demanded amount or make satisfactory arrangements. Otherwise, I'm going to take you to small claims, basically is what it says. And then the last line is, please guide yourself accordingly. Okay, so right, that has to be a registered mail. So I was provided an address from this guy, and I sent registered mail to this guy. And at the same time, I was a little concerned that that address might not be legit. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, it was not. Mm. And actually, doesn't matter, as long as you make the attempt. But I also did something else. I hand-delivered this letter to this gentleman at the same time.
Oh.
Yeah.
So did you do like one of those you've been served deals?
No, because it's not.
Well, because it's not
different.
A lawsuit. It's not a service. You're right.
But I was concerned that he may not get the letter because the address may not be right. And it wasn't. But I knew where he was going to be that particular day. It was right after one of our shows here. So I literally left the show here, got in my car, went over to Petra's where he was doing an appearance. Mm. So he came out. He was coming downstairs from Petra's. I saw him. Hey, Rick. Oh, shit. Hey,
it's all right.
Hey, Scott. And I said, hey, I wanted to just look you in the eye and hand you this letter and let you know that I'm in the position to file a lawsuit against you because you haven't paid us the money you owe us yet. Mm-hmm. So he read it, and he said, well, what does this mean? I said, well, basically, you have 10 days to pay me. He goes, well, we have no problem. How's that? Well, you said if I pay you in 10 days, we're good. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then we have no problem. You're going to get your money in 10 days. I'm like, great. That sounds good. So, left, and naturally, he didn't pay me in 10 days. Mm. So the next step is that after the demand letter, you file with Clark County. Now, if you go to the Clark County website and walk through their webpage for this, it is a hot mess. And it is difficult to follow and easy. I was afraid I was going to miss a step. Not that website yet. So I decided to hire somebody to help me through this process. Now, on a small claims, you don't have a lawyer.
Right.
You represent yourself.
It literally is almost like people's court.
It is exactly like
people's
court.
You got plaintiff, you got defendant. They're talking to the judge directly,
mm-hmm.
I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
You've been through it, not me. I've just watched a lot of people's court.
I know.
And
knows the opening. Crap, that's pretty good. Half of us don't even know our openings. That's pretty good. So I went out and found a company who does this. These aren't lawyers. They're not even paralegals, but they file these lawsuits on behalf of folks like myself, like maybe you.
Who just need a little guidance.
Who just want to make sure they don't check the right boxes, right?
Cross your T's, dot your I's.
Exactly. So I went to these guys and said, can you help me file the lawsuit? And they said, absolutely. So the step is filing the lawsuit. So what you're going to see here is what that looks like. This is the actual small claims complaint that I placed against this gentleman for the lawsuit. And I hope.
Should we just call him, I don't know,
well,
Rick?
Well, it's on there. And so you can see.
Oh, we didn't redact any information?
Yeah. So that's the beginning. It's filed without all the stamps and stuff in the upper right corner. Eventually, when it gets accepted by the court, those stamps get placed in the upper right
now,
corner.
You filed this or you hired the...
I hired the company to file it on my behalf.
Okay.
Right. So it's from Podworks, my company, mm-hmm. but I didn't physically provide it to the court. You can do it electronically or you can do it physically.
Now, how did you find these people? You just Google searched them?
I did a Google search for small claims filing Las Vegas.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people who do that. Good question. So I filed it. So now what happens? Well, filing it doesn't start any clock yet. Because there are clocks throughout this whole process. So before a clock gets started, after you file your lawsuit, the next step is you have to serve the defendant. Proof of service. This is the thing where you see on TV and go, are you Wayne? Yes. Boom, you've been served. Now, a lot of people think the person has to say, yes, I'm Scott Whitney, and take hold of it. That's not what service is. All we have to acknowledge is you are who you are. I can drop it in front of you. You don't even have to read it. You've been served. So our next step was to serve this gentleman. Well, that was hard, come to find out. Much harder than I expected. So we started trying to find this guy, and come to find out, we couldn't find him. He kind of went underground for a while. And so I talked to the company who was helping us, file these things, and they provide a service as part of the deal, but they're not going to do extreme measures. They're not going to be, hunting this guy down. And so we couldn't find him. I went out and paid, where you can pay one of those databases online.
Oh, like 1-800-US-SEARCH or,
yeah. And so I'm like, I got to find this guy so I can serve him and get the clock started. So I paid that thing, and I looked me up. Hell, I'm all over the place. You can find me. And I looked up this guy, Ghost. Looked up his fiance, Ghost. I'm like, well, this is really
weird.
So I'm starting to think,
maybe they're not who they appear to be.
I wonder what's happening here. It started to kind of spider sense again. Well, this should be fascinating. So I hired a private investigator.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds cool.
I was serious. I was really pretty angry about this whole thing. So I hired a PI. And come to find out, PI people couldn't find him.
Mm.
Huh, go figure.
Wow.
Well, so I was starting to this is really not going the way I'd like it to go. And then he kind of resurfaced again and started talking about public appearances. And I knew, actually, you told me.
I did.
That he was going to be at this Run for Life thing.
Charity event, yeah. It's kind of hard when you have a website and you're advertising where you're going to be,
right,
it's hard to keep a low profile.
Well, he had gone kind of dark for a while, and then I was like, what the? And then you're like, hey, did you notice
up.
This thing?
Right.
I'm like, ah, my God.
Yeah. It helps when the person you're suing is kind of a media whore.
Yeah. So I go. There you go. That wasn't me. Okay.
No names mentioned.
Right. So I'm like,
this
hey,
could be Rick, anybody.
He's going to be at this Thing for Life thing.
Uh-huh.
Go find him.
Yeah.
So they went to find him, and they couldn't find him.
Mm.
Okay. All right. So I'm like, all right, I gotta get this figured out. Well, then I realized he was going to be doing an appearance at this pub over here at Riviera. And I'm like, okay. So I call the PI.
This should be easy. How many people are at the Riviera?
Right,
three, four, six? I mean, come on. I show up to the event, I've already doubled the attendance.
Oh, man.
Right.
Hold on, I'm getting a message now.
The room's on the phone?
Right. Andrew Dice Clay just called. No free tickets.
Oh.
There you go. So,
lickety tick. What's he say? What's his all? I don't know.
Lickety dickety dock.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
all I got. Actually, he was a very nice guest. Everybody liked him.
No, yeah.
He's so
very funny, I hear.
So I'm like, hey, I called the PI. He's going to be at this pub. Go. And I call up the company I'm working with. He's going to be there. And then I had somebody else I know who's, you know, a friend of the network. I'm like, hey, would you be willing to do this? Absolutely. So I was going to have three people show up at this event.
Which would have tripled the attendance at this event. Yeah. That is not a dig on the Riviera. That's a dig on this event. The Riviera just opens the doors. People walk in. You know, what are they going to do?
Oh,
three
man.
People walk in. Nine people show up. Six of them are there to get in hold of somebody. It's not the Riv's fault. Love you, Riv.
Okay. All right. Anyway. So I'm like, okay.
They just painted over there. It's very nice.
And I forgot an interesting part. So during this whole time, the people who I hired are like, well, why don't we just call him and tell him he's been named in a lawsuit and we need an address for him to send him a copy so he knows what's happening. I'm like, oh, okay, good luck with that.
Godspeed.
Godspeed. So they called him. And he said, oh, yeah, I'll come by and pick up the paperwork. Be right there.
What?
And so they emailed me and said, hey, he's going to pick up the paperwork. I said, there's no way he's picking up the paperwork. And he did not.
Mm.
Until Tuesday morning. I think he started to realize that we knew where he was going to be. And I think somehow his spider sense said,
again, when you're a media whore and you're posting on your website where you're going to be,
I'm going to have all these people probably coming after me. I should go and pick it up. So he actually went and picked up the paperwork for the lawsuit.
First honorable thing he's done all month.
Arguably. So the minute that happened, he was served, and those papers were then filed with Clark Clarity. Now, there are other things I could have done. There's a thing called a skip trace, where you do a deep dive into these, you know, secret black smoky databases, and you spend a great deal of money on that. I was unwilling to do that, primarily because the PI guys, who I think probably had some insight into that, couldn't find him.
But
it just didn't
I
got
to ask you a question, though.
Yep.
So you started filing the lawsuit. Yep. You've hired the company to assist you. You've hired the PI. How much, for the average person that needs to sue someone, how much are you in at this point, invested in?
Well, I will tell you that at the end of the day, it was $522. But that gets covered in the lawsuit.
Okay.
So I knew.
But so far, you're out of pocket.
At that point, I was out of pocket about $200,
okay.
$300, maybe something like that. But I knew that if I won, that the way the small claims work is you get the settlement, the $7,500, plus court costs.
Oh, okay. And so, that's included in that.
Yes. So the max
is $7,500, but it could go over that based on what you're in.
Right. So I paid to have that work done. Those people, they got paid for that. The different filings, all that was covered in court costs.
Okay.
So that's why the eventual judgment was higher than $7,500, and I'll explain that in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's all
wow.
covered. So I never worried about that, A, because I knew that I was covered, and B, even if I wasn't, I just wanted to do the right thing and
sure.
see this thing through. So we served him, didn't do a skip trace, and then the clock finally starts. So the next step is the defendant has to answer. And he's got 20 calendar days to do that. And there's an official document for that, and it looks like this. And basically his responsibility is to, and you can zoom in on, well, actually I wouldn't zoom in too much on that. maybe a little bit, so you can see a little bit. So you basically, his responsibility is to respond using this form, and he has to mail it back to the court and also send a copy to me. And again, that happens in 20 days. Now, during this time, you are able to see the status of your civil case, of your case. And there's a website to do that. The website is clarkcountycourts.us/anonymous/default-ASPX. It looks like this. And where you see where it says Justice Civil Records, you click on that. And then if you type in your court case number under the cases there, like that, and whoop.
And this site, you can search by name as well.
You can, but it was my, I found that it wasn't that effective. And then if you click on the actual court case, boom, that shows you everything that's happened in this court case. So that's the entire record of what happened. Mm-hmm. So once I became aware of that website, I monitored it every day or so to see, did he respond? Did he respond to them and I haven't seen it yet or whatever?
Because had they responded, the clerk of courts would have entered that into that website.
That's right, exactly. Okay. So what happens after he responds? Well, the next step is mediation. It's clear that Clark County does not want to get you into court if they can avoid it. If they can, you know, that's why the demand letter took place. They want you to, you know, resolve the problem ahead of time. That's why the next step after the answer is mediation.
Because suing, I mean, not suing, but the actual court date should be the last resort.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, you know, mediation is just like it sounds like. You get in front of a mediator, and if y'all can agree on what's going on, life is good. Then the mediator sends something off to the court that says it's all been solved, drop the case, blah, 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 blah.
That's official and binding, right?
It is. If both parties agree. So if he had come in and I had come in and said, okay, you owe me $7,500, and he said, okay, well, I'll pay you
$5,000.
And you say, okay. And I say, oh, whatever.
That's it.
And then that would have been fine.
Okay.
Case would have been closed. It would have been mediated out. It would have been fine. If that doesn't happen, if the mediation does, and it's not, you can go to mediation and say, I want my $7,500. I'll give you five. No. All right, mediation over. And that's it. So then the next step is a small claims hearing. In other words, your court date. Here's another clock ticking thing. So when does that happen? That can be anywhere from 38 to 90 days after the file date. So you're 20 days in, and then you're another up to 70 days in. So this can extend out quite some time if you get involved with this, right? And so here's what happens, and this is interesting. So on your small claims hearing date, you go to the courtroom with many other people who are doing the same thing for that day. First, the clerk will call a roll call from the docket to see who's in attendance. Once this is done, a default judgment will be entered in cases where the plaintiff, that would be the person suing, appears and the defendant did not appear. So if I sue you, and our court date is called, and I show up and you don't, a default judgment is done, and that's the end of it.
What's a default judgment?
Means I get what I asked for.
Oh, just boom, that's it?
That's it.
Okay.
Because the defendant didn't come up to argue his case.
So you win.
You win.
It's like a forfeit almost.
Almost. Actually, exactly like that. And then if the defendant appears but the plaintiff does not appear, then the case will be dismissed. Done.
So again, a forfeit for the other side.
That's exactly right. And they say here on their website, it's very important not to be late, because if you arrive after roll call, your case may already have been handled,
right,
and you may have already been defaulted against or had your case dismissed.
Doug Llewellyn is not waiting for you in the hallway.
Right. He's like, oh, what did you think about being defaulted against? I got what? What do you mean I was defaulted?
You wouldn't be there.
I was all right.
Right.
I was late.
So
what
right. It'd right. be Doug staying there by himself.
Right. Anybody home? All right. So then when you get there, and they say, okay, the next step, the courtroom clerk will call your case for both parties to be signed a mediator. They're going to mediate this again.
Times two?
Times two. This is the second mediation. Your matter will be mediated at this time, or now this is the important part. So again, they're trying to keep you out of the courtroom. Or if there are a number of people waiting, it will be heard as soon as possible. So it could go either way. It kind of depends on what happens here. The mediation will take place in a conference room within the Regional Justice Center. Cases that did not get fully settled will be scheduled for a small claims hearing before a referee in 10 to 21 days later. So, again,
you both showed up.
Right.
Now you're doing the forced mediation because you both showed up.
Right.
So they're really trying to get this settled outside of court.
They do not want you in the courtroom.
Wow. Okay.
So then, in your next case, step is referee.
Okay.
So
did you get to this part?
Well, I'm going to walk you through it.
Okay.
So then you go to the referee. And the referee is basically, he says, okay, this is what you see on Judge Judy or whatever.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining?
Right. Right, exactly. So here is, this is what you see. Now, normally, a small claims argument is no more than 10 to 15 minutes.
Right.
That's it.
Especially because, I mean, right, people's commercials last half an hour.
Right. You got Glenn Lerner going to do a commercial.
Yeah.
You got to get the stuff out. So what they say on the website, it's very important to plan ahead regarding what you're going to say. It should be organized. Don't go off on a tangent. Not too many details. Don't be repetitive. Stay calm and be polite.
Summarize it.
Right. If the case is heard by a referee, the referee will prepare a written findings of facts, conclusions, laws, and recommendations. Now, either party may object to those recommendations. So what you can object to, just like, you know, you can object to or say, I don't agree with this. I'm going to take it to the next court. So you can do that. That's all if everybody plays their part. In my case, I was the only one who played my part. So I did the filing. We served him, but this gentleman chose not to respond. So all the things that I mentioned, steps 7, mediation, or step 6, the answer, step 7, mediation, step 8, small claims hearing, step 9, referee, never happened because he never responded. So you have the right to say, I'm not waiting around forever for this. So what I did is I had asked for a motion of declaration for judgment by default.
Sounds wordy.
It does sound wordy. And this is what that form looks like. So you're basically saying, we've waited for the required number of days. We would like for you guys to just say, enough is enough. We're going to rule in favor of the plaintiff for the amount of money that he asked for. And so you do that, and then you say, well, how long does it take? Well, there is no time limit on this. So you could file the motion, and it could be ruled on the next day. But on average in Clark County, it takes 30 days.
Now, are you filing this, or is the service still assisting you?
They are still assisting me.
Okay.
And that cost me more money to do that.
Really?
Yeah, because it's outside of the normal small claims process.
Okay.
Normally, people respond.
So you still have assistance, but now we're going a little step further. Now it's another service. We get a little bit extra fee.
Yeah, same company.
Up front.
Yeah, most people, if they're sued, they respond to it.
Okay.
So he didn't, and so I had to pay more money to file this motion and declaration for judgment by default. So I filed it, and I asked the people who were helping me, how long is it going to take? There is no time limit, but it's usually 30 days. Now, during this time, I was dealing with some, you know, matters with my mom, and I was pretty busy, and eventually went on vacation. I kept watching that website I was telling you about and wasn't seeing anything. 30 days had passed, hadn't seen anything. Went on vacation, came back, still hadn't seen anything. Well, come to find out, a judgment was declared in my benefit. A little less than 30 days after I had filed it. It just wasn't updated on the website. So the judgment default, which happened on July 16th, this is what that document looks like. Basically, it's the same document as before, but you've got the stamp at the upper right corner, you've got the judge's signature, and if you zoom in to the part where it says what you got to do, or what he has to do, come in, and scroll down. It is hereby ordered, adjudged and decreed that the plaintiff, and I want you to now scroll up, go down a little bit, just down, a little bit more, right there, stop. Good. That paragraph's important. It's hereby ordered, adjudged, and decreed that plaintiff is awarded judgment against the defendant as followed. The principal amount, so there's the $7,500 that I sued for.
That's the limit.
That's right. Plus the amount of $522.
These are out-of-pocket costs.
That's what it cost me to have those people help me.
Okay.
And reasonable attorney fees. Well, there were none.
Small claims.
That's right. So that's, you see the signature of the judge. It was dated 12 July 2012, and so on and so forth. Okay? So, there you go. Life's pretty good. I want a lawsuit. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to tell you about the next part, getting paid. This is the Vegas Video Network. We'll be right back.
Oh, hi. I'm Kelly Clinton. That sucked. I wonder if Joan Rivers is watching. Oh, please. Oh, my God.
Who cares?
I don't have a different one.
You know who watches this show? Wayne Newton.
You got that right, Kelly. I think you're absolutely beautiful and talented, young lady. 5, 6, 9, 12. Darker shade.
More camera time for me.
Hey, I wonder if Cher's watching.
Oh, please. I have so many other things to do.
Woo! Hi, I'm Kelly Clinton. I'm the host of Talk Tales, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. That was horrible.
Last time we were with Scott, he had just won a lawsuit. Let's see if he gets paid. Welcome back, everybody. By the way, if you want to reach out to us, there's a couple of ways you can do that. You can hit us with the email. It's onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. If you want to hear your own dulcet tones on the big show, hell, I can't blame you. You've got a beautiful singing voice. You can leave a web-based voicemail. What? Web-based phones are for kids. You just go ahead, click that little red thing on the side. You hit start recording. Zippity-zip-zop. You're making us a voicemail. And your whites will be whiter and your brights will be brighter as a result of that.
I just have Twitter, so what can I do?
You can send us a tweet.
Where would I send that to?
Which still sounds stupid. But if you do, you'll send it to Vegas Video NTWRK. We couldn't afford all the letters.
Nice.
Because we have a lawsuit.
I also use my wife's Facebook.
Facebook?
So if I went to Facebook, you know how I do that.
Facebook /.frickfrick Vegas Video Network. And frickfrick, which is the slashes who are called frickfricks or not. But if you are with the cool kids, you're in our live chat, being a part of the show as it's happening. And if you don't catch us on live, don't worry. We can help you. You're on VegasVideoNetwork.com. We're on iTunes, Roku, YouTube. Ah, KSHB. No, KSHB, 1400 AM on Saturdays. Hey, this is a... quiet over there. Go back to your production hole. Anyways, go...
I wrote that.
I know. My next lawsuit will be defamation of character against everybody in this room.
Mine's going to be for copyright
infringement. All right.
Since I wrote that.
You let that go when you wrote it. All right. So, good news. Right.
When we last left Scott, he won a default judgment for $7,500, the maximum allowed, plus court costs, $500 and some. Right. So now that we've last left the Cape Crusader and he's in this situation where we have the judgment, so now you've been paid, right?
Right. Nope. Okay.
What? But you won.
Yeah. So here's the next step. Once you win a small claims thing, you need to get paid. And there are...
That doesn't happen automatically?
No. Especially if the person didn't show up for this whole process.
Oh, son of a gun. That's, or if they didn't maybe use their real name when they were conducting business.
There's a good chance I just sued a ghost. But there's something that I know, but we're not sharing that on the show. Anyways, so here's the deal. You got three options to get your money. And here they are. Option one, you can garnish their wages. So
nice.
This is... and this is, you know, if you work for Acme Inc., that's where... They basically take a percentage of your income and send it off to the people who won the lawsuit. Second is you can put a lien on their property.
Ooh.
Oh, so if they own a house, you can say, I'm going to put a lien on that property for $8,022, and if you sell that house, then I get $8,000 before you get the rest of that money.
A little delayed, but okay. I still like.
And then the third is you can levy somebody's bank account.
Ooh.
So, right.
This looks good.
It's crazy. We got the audience going, ooh. It's like name that tune. Ooh, I know the winner. It's like, let's make a deal.
Instead of cutting me a check,
I'm
just going to take it straight from your bank account.
Right. Door two. All right. So that sounds...
I'll give up what's in the box.
So that sounds good, doesn't it? It does. It sounds good.
Yeah.
Here's the challenge with those. You got to know who you're dealing with. And you have to have the information to get those things. So the challenge that's facing me now is that this gentleman doesn't work for Acme Inc. So I can't garnish his wages like you would normally do, you would think. It's not quite true, but it's not as obvious. Because he is self-employed, basically. He's an independent contractor, right? And so I have these three options in front of me, and I'm like, okay, I've reached out to this guy several times, and radio silence, comments. And I thought, okay, let's be a man about this. I need to reach out to him one more time and say, look, here's what's happening here, Rick.
Which is a random name we just picked out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, just show it quickly. Or scroll up so you don't see the name. It doesn't matter. Just scroll up so you see.
Well, you know what they say.
You know what I'm saying?
The number one defense to slander and libel is the truth. And
yeah.
It is the truth.
But no, this is, yeah, I'm just trying to get the point across. So I decided, look, I need to email this guy. And I did some research on this. I need to email this guy and tell him what's happening. So I sent him an email, and this is the email I sent him. I'm just going to just briefly put it up there. The content, the idea here is to explain the format of the email. And that's fine. Basically, the format of the email is this. Rick, this lawsuit has happened, and we've won the lawsuit. But instead of getting crazy here, is there any chance that you might want to pay this or make payments? Mm-hmm. I'll accept it. You know, by the way, we've done this with other people. Mm-hmm. Not in a lawsuit, but we've had people work with us, but who couldn't afford the nut at one time. Hell, we did production for one guy, and we gave him a year. He did monthly payments for a year for some videos we did.
You're not trying to be a jerk. You're just trying to get paid for your services, for Pete's sake.
Right. So I sent him an email and said, and I did some research and I got some guidance on the language of the email. I basically said, here's what's happened. The lawsuit has happened. You have been found wanting. You've lost.
Thanks for not showing up.
Let's talk a little bit about how we can get this solved. Otherwise, I have to take more public efforts to get this money back. And so there are some really fascinating ways to do this. And I explained this in the email to him. And one of them, the thing that surprised me was, if you're dealing with somebody who's hard to track down, will the court help you? And in the beginning, I thought, the court doesn't give a damn. The court will not help you. I was wrong. The court will help you. And I'm going to read this directly from their website. How and where, am I skipping ahead? No, we're okay. We're done with the numbers, right? How and where can a defendant's assets be located? So I couldn't find his assets, right? He never wrote a check to me. He only paid me in cash and cashier's checks. So I had no account.
Which is a little suspect right there.
Never had a real address from him.
Kind of a little suspect.
Right, so I was dealing with a ghost. Well, come to find out, from the website, how and where can the defendant's assets be located? Is there a way the court can assist me? And here's what it says. Under NRS 21270.
Nevada Revised Statute.
Oh, very good. What's it called? Nevada what?
Nevada Revised Statute.
Oh, very good. The court, now this is important. The court can order the examination of a judgment debtor, the person who lost, for the purpose of ascertaining the debtor's assets. And as NRS 21270 states the following, NSR 21270, examination of judgment debtor, a judgment creditor at any time after the judgment is entered is entitled to an order from the judge of the court require the judgment debtor to appear and answer under oath or affirmation concerning his property before the judge or a master appointed by him, or an attorney, blah, 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 blah.
So, and you're the creditor. So you can request a judge, haul this guy in.
That's right.
And say, what's the dealio, buddy?
That's right. And so in the email, I basically said, I just learned this 2 days ago. So I thought, this is just going to be a real pain in the ass. So I was going to go after, in the email, I also said, I'm going to talk to all your advertisers and say, we're going to get a sheriff involved, and I'm going to do a writ of execution and a writ of garnishment. And the truth is, while this is hard to do, it can be done. And even if it's not somebody who works for Acme Inc., you can still attach business wages, which is what he's bringing in. So the advertisers on the show, I can absolutely go to that pub over there and go, hey, look, you got to pay me a percentage of his money because he owes me this money. But it would be detrimental for him for me to do that. Because now all of his advertisers know
he's a deadbeat.
He's not paying his bills.
He's a deadbeat.
Yeah. So I explained that to him and said, but first and foremost, I'm going to get you in front of a judge and have you explain everything there is about you. I'm going to find out what your bank accounts are. I'm going to find if your name is really who you say it is. And I'm going to learn what I need to learn so I can get paid. So I sent that email to him, and he responded. Now, I'm not going to tell you what he wrote. He basically said, thanks, didn't know about the judgment. I'll get back to you in a couple days with payment.
Missed that one.
So I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I hope it does. I hope that we can figure this out. I really do. Because I have got no time. Actually, yes, I do have time. I'll make time to do it if I have to. I would rather not have to go out and speak to all the people who advertise on his shows and say, look, you're paying this guy, but you're not going to be able to pay him. You got to pay me part of it.
You don't want to be that guy, but if he's forcing the envelope and forcing you to be that guy, then you'll make the time to be that guy.
Yeah, and this is time consuming, but it's the right thing to do. So at the end of the day, the steps to this really aren't that complicated. There are, if it goes as planned, there are 9 steps-ish. But it's pretty straightforward. You send him a letter, you file the suit, he answers, you mediate, you go to court, you're done. That's typically how this would work. He made it a little bit longer. I had to do the motion for a declaration of whatever you call it, judgment of default. What are you going to do? But at the end of the day, for me, and this is especially true in Las Vegas, and probably any entertainment place, it's okay to stand up for yourself. It's okay to stand up for your crew and say, look, we worked very hard to do a good show. The show we did is better than anything that you've done before or after, by the way. And we deserve to be paid for the great work we did. And so even if I don't get paid, I did the right thing. Mm-hmm. I will get paid. That will be my thing. I will make sure, if I have to hire people to find him and get paid, I will get paid. But the point is, if you're out there and you're doing good work for people and they're jerking you off and not paying you, stand up for yourself.
Yep.
This is especially true for the artist community here in Las Vegas and the people who are in the video world here. This is happening a lot. I don't know if I mentioned this, but as this has happened, I think I touched on it. I was seeing Facebook posts and people talking about, oh yeah, I saw this guy, he owes me this money. He didn't even look at me twice. This guy owes me money. Well, this happens all the time. Watch out for this guy. He won't pay you. This is happening all the time in Las Vegas, and it's complete and utter BS, and it needs not happen. And these people are doing it because they think they can get away with it.
It's basically theft.
It is theft. And by the way, one of the options here, when you start doing the garnishment, is a sheriff shows up and delivers that information. Do you really want me to have a sheriff show up to your advertiser and say, you got to pay me? Do you really want that? Wow. What is that? So to the people out there who are doing hard work, and by the way, this is especially true now. I mean, look, so we all know the economy is crap for a lot of people, and they're like, gosh, I don't want to make any waves because, golly gee whiz, I might not get hired. You deserve to get paid for what you do.
Yep.
You deserve it. And if they won't hire you because you fought for your rights, screw them. You don't want to work with them anyways. I would much like to use much different language.
But you know what really makes you angry, I think, is this person has a complete disregard for what you've done. Even if they would have come to you and said, this is my circumstances, let's work something out, I think you would have been amenable to that.
Yes, I asked him to do that.
At the end of the day, it's two people doing business. Let's make this work for both of us.
And it's beyond that. It's not just two people. It's him and his thing, and it's my company.
Right.
So it's not just Scott. You know, it's not man to man. It's man to my company. Mm-hmm. And the work, I mean, Jacob and Sam did things to that show, the original version of that show, that were amazing.
And all somebody would have had to do was say, listen, this is where I'm at. I'll give you $100 a week. I'll give you $200 a week.
Whatever.
It's the fact of the matter that push came to shove.
Yeah. So it's hard, and I get where people are saying, I don't have the time for it. Well, maybe that's true, and I get it. But you don't have to do all the work yourself. You can hire somebody for, you know, a few hundred bucks to do it. And You deserve the money. You deserve to get what you've asked for. That's the important piece I want to make here. Don't be afraid of this. You know, don't be afraid of standing up for what you deserve and the work that you've done, because you know you're doing good work. And to sit around in a Facebook page and go, you know, gee whiz, I got screwed, watch out for this guy, that's got to make you crazy.
Yep.
And you don't need to be crazy about that. Even if you eventually don't get paid, at least you fought
right
for what you did. And you'll learn not to deal with those kind of people again. I'm telling you what, since then, we've had people come in this studio who have told some pretty fascinating stories, and I've thrown them out because I knew it smelled wrong.
Yep.
And it wasn't, and I just didn't want to be a part of it again. Whether or not it was right or not, I don't even give a damn. I knew that it didn't feel right, mm-hmm. based upon the experience I had here. So you're worth what you charge. Get what you want. I know we have a chat question. Sam, what do we got?
Just a real quick one, which I just want to confirm. I think I know the answer, but did some of the productions get aired or put out there?
All of them did. Every single one
of
them.
And even if it didn't, you put that time in.
Right.
You
know, actually, that's a great point.
There's no difference as if you sold someone a car, you gave someone your car and they didn't pay you, as if you did the service for them and they didn't pay you. A product or an item is the same as your time. Time is money. You did a service that is not worth any less than a physical item.
It's a great point from the chat, and I will tell you, that's a very good point, because he didn't pay me, and that chat person was paying attention to the story, because I could have held back 3 episodes. Didn't pay me, right? I gave them to Vegas TV. I wanted to be helpful. Here's your stuff. I realize that you're having some problems with money. Let's work it out. So he was delivered. Not that we just shot him and did all the work here. We did all the post-production, which was not trivial for this particular show. And we gave him to Vegas TV. They were all aired. He got everything that he got everything that he didn't pay for. I was going to say, he got everything that he paid for. I mean, he didn't pay for it. Mm-hmm. He got everything that he should have paid for. So, great question. So, that's it. Wait a minute. That's not it. We have another chat question.
Oh, yeah. We've got some good responses here to that. The first question that came after is, was it all 50 of them? Which I knew it wasn't, so I said no to that.
No.
But it says here, too, does he get the use of the episodes again?
Yep.
Or does he own them?
Yep.
It's intellectual property, and that's
well,
even a
so that's a great question.
Story.
Right. Oh, that's a really good question. That's a great, great, great question. Let's talk about the 50. No, he didn't do all 50, which is why there is that clause in the contract that changed what he owed me from X to...
he doesn't get the discount anymore.
Right. To what he would charge if he just did those number of episodes. So with regards to copyright, there's another mistake I made. That was a huge mistake. What I should have said is, I own the copyright for any material not paid for. That's what I should have done. And by the way, like website guys, I used to do this for my website. You don't pay me, I own the copyright of that website. And I've done that for some videos before. So, boop, didn't do that. I made a mistake on that. And I don't know that if I could go back retroactively and do that. I don't know. And by the way, that's actually another, God, it's a great point, because once he stopped working with me, they re-ran our episodes for at least a couple weeks before he found other people to work with, and we believe he's still looking
kind of
for other people to work with. Mm-hmm. To do, I didn't even tell the TriCaster story. I totally forgot about that. Oh, never mind. Oh, ask me next week, because that's a crazy story as well.
I'll jot that down if you have me back.
Yeah, well, you're in. So
do I have to still bring more beer?
Yes.
Okay.
But no. So great question about the copyright. I screwed that up. I should have written that I own that. And then I should have done that. I could have reached out to Vegas TV and said, you can't run those belong to me because of it.
Yep.
Damn it. Good point. Whoever that is, you're my new lawyer.
Hindsight's 2020.
Jackie. Oh, you can be my new lawyer. Is that it? Are we cool there? All right. Well, that's it. That's it for the big show. How'd we go?
Can we hear some gin and tonic? I'm sorry, Tangray and tonic?
A little gin and tonic for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Gin and tonic? I thought it was Tangray.
Yes. But, yeah, talk. What? Yes, hold on. Stopping. We're getting a question from the
So, Scott, if you chose to go back to the judge.
Yes.
I'm going to ask since I'm mic'd.
Yes.
And if after you chose to go back to the judge, if you did what? For the discovery portion.
And he chose to ignore the judge.
Oh, great question. Yeah. Well,
you go back to discovery, he chooses to refuse the judge, ignore the judge, would they issue a warrant for him?
Yeah, I actually have that written down. A judgment debtor who is regularly served with an order issued pursuant to this section and who fails to appear at the time and place specified in the order may be punished for contempt by the judge issuing the order. So it's a contempt of court issue, which I believe is if you get pulled over, you're going to jail. So I'm serious about this. And with that, gin and tonic.
You know, I'm still waiting for my signed Gajazzathon CD.
You've got it. Done. Hey, thanks, everybody. Pretty heavy show. Thanks to the live chat. Great questions from the live chat, folks. You guys are awesome. Thanks to the live studio audience.
I'm clapping.
Thanks to everybody who's watching again. It's Living in Las Vegas. Thank you to Wayne.
Thank
you. Playing around. Wayne,
thank you.
The Pippin
Man. I'll be back next week as long as I bring beer.
That's right. You can come back with that beer. You did a couple times. But you're still here. Look. How good is that for you?
I know. Speaking of, I've been paid lately, so I might take some notes here, and I'm going to go back and watch this on demand, maybe on Roku, Apple TV. I'm going to listen to it on KSHP.
This is going to be pay-per-view.
And I'm gonna take some notes.
We're going to do pay-per-view here, and it's going to cost $7,500 to watch the show.
I'll see you in mediation, buddy.
$7,500, and I'll see you in mediation. Good night, everybody.